Well, I don't know how you're going to react to this short story, but what the heck. This guy walks into a psychiatrist's office, and he's beside himself. And he says, "Doc, you got to help me. You got to help me. Lately, I've been thinking that I'm a pair of curtains." And the guy's just really starting to freak out. And the psychiatrist says, "Okay, relax. I understand. You think you're a pair of curtains, but somehow you got to draw yourself together here." We need a... All right, let's go to this place. Pins and needles, needles and pins. It's a happy man that grins. That short verse is from the Gospel according to Ralph Cramden of the Honeymooners. And for those of you that are too young to remember, The Honeymooners was a really highly successful but short-lived TV show that goes all the way back to the 50s. And it starred Jackie Gleason as Ralph Cramden. And in this particular episode, Ralph Cramden is just beside himself with excitement as he comes through the door, and he just can't wait to get a hold of his wife, Alice, and share with her the incredible advice that his doctor had given to him as a way of calming down his nervousness. And so finally he starts to tell her, "The doctor just gave me this short verse to say. Pins and needles, needles and pins. It's a happy man that grins." And then I put a big smile on my face and I say, "What was I so upset about?" And I can't even remember. And the whole thing works like a charm. And Ralph is a whole new man. Well, at least until the landlord shows up and gives him a notice of a 15% increase in his rent. And then he kind of loses it again. Today we conclude our very short series based on Beatles music, and our topic today is based on the song that we just sang, "Let It Be." And this is the work of Paul McCartney, and I think it is one of the more inspired pieces that the Beatles produced because it deals with a very human situation. And so what I want to take a look at today is from a spiritual perspective, what is the significance, what is the meaning of letting it be? This gift of life that we all share, and it is a gift, can be tough at times. And sometimes that list of things that we have to be concerned about and worried about just seems to be never ending. And I openly share with all of you that the most difficult challenge that I have faced since I have become the full-time minister here is the attention that has to be paid to details. Now, let me make it clear, I'm not complaining. Okay, I've told you before, and I really mean it, I feel truly blessed to be here, and I feel honored and privileged and humbled, you know, to be with you people. It really is a gift. But the job does seem to entail a seamless, unending stream of deadlines that have to be met, things that pop up at the last minute, pockets of and areas of concern that redirect my attention from time to time, and unexpected surprises, unexpected reactions that I find people have to some things, and on and on and on it goes. And by nature, I'm a fix-it type person. If something is broken, it drives me nuts. I want to get it fixed. I have to get it fixed. Even if something is working, but really not quite right, I want to have it fixed. And okay, being perfectly honest, even if something is working perfectly fine, I want to make it somehow better. And this type of disposition, you know, doesn't make letting it be come all that easy. Sometimes when I'm out on a golf course and I'm playing the game of golf, the wheels come off. And you should know from the get-go that to begin with, I never was much of a golfer. But when this happens and the wheels come off, I take being a really lousy golfer to an incredibly new level. because it's not as if I'm even holding a golf club. It's like I'm trying to hit the ball with a snake or something. And I just lose it. And invariably, the people that are out with me, golfing with me, you know, they try to calm me down. You know, Mike, just relax. Mike, just take it easy. And in the frame of mind I'm in at that time, all it deserves to do is to pour more fuel on top of the fire. Except for one time when I was out golfing with my brother-in-law, and it was one of those occasions, it was just horrible. And I was really freaking out. And he kind of grabbed hold of me, looked me in the eye, and he says, Mike, just walk the next hole. Don't swing a club. Don't even touch a club. Just walk it. And amazingly, it worked. I just calmed down to a very, very low level, and I actually was allowed to accept what happened and just let it be. One of my favorite writers in the whole wide world is Anne Lamott. And in one of her books, and I really apologize, I just don't remember which one, she draws the analogy, she makes the point that the things that happen to us in life, the things that we sometimes have to endure, are parallel, are very analogous to machines that don't work, especially electronics that don't function the way that they're supposed to. And so she continues the analogy, sometimes it's just necessary to pull the plug and wait it out. Just wait for a time. And then usually what happens is when you put that plug back in, whatever it was that was malfunctioning has had an opportunity, a chance to reset, and then begins to work. And it works not just with machines, it works with people too. Just let it be. Well, this is easier said than done. For most of us, once that frustration starts, it has a way of finding its way to a very slippery downward slope. And once we have even just a little worrisome thought in our heads, our brain immediately wants to write a story about it. A long, detailed story that typically doesn't play out with a happy ending. I remember back in the days, long time ago when I was working, one of my cohorts and I jokingly would like to tell people, no, the great thing about this job is it stays this way for weeks before it gets worse. And of course, we were joking, but it illustrates the point. Those annoying, aggravating things that we suffer, that we experience in life, eventually have a way of wanting to take on a whole new life of their own. The daily grind that we all face can make hypochondriacs out of each and every one of us. And I'm not just talking about health issues, but on financial, social, relationship, and spiritual planes as well. Because again, they just have a way of causing us to fret about some of the simplest things in the world, like, oh my God, it's 4:30, and then I don't have a clue what we're going to be doing for dinner tonight. And as these things accumulate, they can wear us down, they could beat us down, and they could really develop within us an overall level of frustration and a very pessimistic attitude. And of course, what follows from that is that becomes our reality. That becomes the life experience that we live day in and day out, regardless of how much we ever dreaded going there. And then, coincidentally, what happens to our health? We might suddenly be dealing with issues of high blood pressure and other health issues. And spiritually, it creates a distance between ourselves and that deep inner knowing of the peace that each and every one of us is entitled to. So the obvious question is, what do we do about it? You know, you see on television in the movies, when somebody begins to lose it, someone else comes over and, you know, gives a person a whack and says, snap out of it. Well, let's face it, that's not going to work here, right? You know, we can't very well have people walking around hitting one another, especially since some of you might hit back. Close to where we live, there's a jewelry store. And it's run by a very short, adorable little man. And I like to go there when my watch needs a battery that has to be replaced or something like that. And a few years ago, I took to him a small, modest diamond ring that belonged to Susan's grandmother. And the setting was broken. The setting consisted of little tiny hearts on either side, and one of them had broken off. And I took the ring to him, and I said, can you fix it? And he said, yes, I could fix it. And he gave me a date, and I came back to pick up the ring, and I looked at it, and it was incredible. He had made an exact little tiny miniature heart replica of what was on the other side of the setting. And I just said, wow, this kind of intricate work, it has to take incredible patience on your part. And he said, I have a system. He said, when things get tough, I just say, fudge it. And I put it aside, and I come back to it later. And sometimes there might be a project in which I have to do that multiple times. But so what? Let it be. Many years ago, I read a book that's an American classic. The title is Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance by Robert Persig. I see a couple of you smiling. You might be familiar with the book. This book was a bit of a life changer for me. And I don't even think it was the main objective, the main lesson in the book, but what I came away from in that book is an understanding that when something stops working, when something's not going right, when something breaks in our life, you just have to take a breath. You just have to let it be. And going bonkers about it, going all crazy about it, isn't going to do any good anyway. Because it all comes down to being in that moment. Accepting that what is, recognizing it for what it is, and then that allows you to be in a position that if you really want to take it from there and try to do something with it, you're not all tied up in knots. And you have a greater latitude, a greater ability to do just that. There's a very famous quote that some people attribute to Eleanor Roosevelt. Other people take it back all the way to Confucius. It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Way back in the 1950s, there was a zany publication called Mad Magazine. And that crazy publication gave us a fictional character by the name of Alfred E. Newman. And he had a very profound spiritual philosophy to share with us. His catchphrase for dealing with the problems in life and the things that came out at all of us is very simple. What? Me worry? In recent days, there's a popular singer who goes by the name of Pink. And she recently has tried to launch a campaign to have a no criticism day. And she expressed an explicit wish to be skipped over from all of the BS that goes on in the world. And part of her campaign, she's inviting everybody to consider this, to think about it, and try it for a day. And then if that day works out, do it another day. There's a spiritual reference for everything that we're talking about. In the Gospels, Jesus invites his followers, just look at the birds in the sky and the lilies in the field and see how the Father takes care of them. How much better is the Father who's going to take care of you that he loves even more. We tend to lose sight of this. We tend to forget that with God, there always is a get out of jail free card. And sometimes, maybe we just stop believing or we just don't remember that part of our spiritual inheritance is peace. Not peace as the world gives peace, but that perfect peace that only God, that only Spirit can provide. And we sing, we pray it all of the time. Wherever we are, God is. So again, just let it be. That simple phrase, let it be, it's a recognition, and it's not a resignation. It's not a call to give up trying to make a difference in the world. It's not a call to stop changing the things in your life that you need to change. It's just a call to take a breath, relax, and not get excited over what is, and just accept it and go from there. Another song with outstanding lyrics is Megan McDonough's version of Amazing Things. You don't have to work it out. Just stay in the here and now. Let your mind rest for a while. Sometimes greatest answers come when you're out there having fun. So close your eyes and take a breath and smile. There are some that might listen to the lyrics of Let It Be and they might call it artistic genius. I look at those lyrics and I call it real spiritual inspiration. Those lyrics both are spiritually inspired and they are spiritually inspiring. Those three words, let it be, as far as I'm concerned, constitute real prayer and affirmation. And Paul McCartney, who wrote the song, shares with us that the reference in the song to Mother Mary is a reference to his mom. In times of trouble and in his hours of darkness, there she stood right in front of him. But I think Mother Mary in that song holds a metaphysical meaning for each and every one of us. I think Mother Mary stands for that deep down intuition that we have, that knowing that God loves, that Spirit cares for each and every single one of us. Not sometimes, but always. One of the earliest talks that I ever gave in this church goes back now over 7 years, and it was on Father's Day. And I shared with the congregation at that time a weird oddity about me, and that is that I find dimes. And I found not just a few dimes, but a lot of dimes. In fact, I found a couple of dimes just within the past 2 weeks. And I'm telling you that over the course of the last 10 years, I easily have found over 70, maybe 80 dimes. And when I gave that talk that day, I tried to communicate that I thought what was going on, that this was a message from my dad in my life. Because those dimes tend to show up more when I'm disturbed or troubled or worried about something than regular times. And so in a way, I really believe that my father is kind of analogous to Mother Mary in that song. And I think with each dime that I have found, the message was simply that. Just let it be. Letting it be is not about withdrawing from the world. Letting it be is not about throwing in the towel and giving up. Letting it be is all about not growing mountains out of molehills. Letting it be is not getting so caught up in all of the annoying, aggravating details so as to lose sight of the total picture. letting it be is understanding the words of Jesus when he said, what does it avail a man if by saving his life he loses it? Twenty years ago, a man by the Richard Carlson wrote another very successful book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. I don't know if that's exactly true, that it's all small stuff, but I know that unless you're looking at things with awareness and a consciousness that God is somehow attached to the situation, then indeed it is absolutely small stuff. And the moment that you put God into the equation, the moment you incorporate God into your thinking and the feeling in your heart with regard to anything, it'll take even the small stuff and make it absolutely grand, but in a very, very positive way. Let it be. So I'm going to give you three options here at the close of this talk. Three choices to ponder. The first is the Serenity Prayer, a very famous, well-known prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change those things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Or if you prefer, you could go back to that opening verse that I shared, pins and needles, needles and pins. It's a happy man that grins, and put that big smile on your face and ask yourself, what is it that's really bugging me today? Or in the words of the song, you could just softly whisper to yourself, let it be. And now I invite you, let's take this into prayer and meditation.